Welcome home, brave heroes. I'm Ash. This is AshQuest, the weekly Monday podcast where I talk about all things HeroQuest and HeroQuest adjacent. Yes, it's every single week. If you think I missed a week, no, I didn't. Yes, it's only on Mondays. If you're hearing this, then today is a Monday. If your calendar says otherwise, it's wrong. You're wrong. Learn to read calendars better. And this is a week, or perhaps a month if this goes up technically a day past when I would like it to, where Avalon Hill was at Essen Spiel in Germany and revealed not a whole lot really for HeroQuest fans. We didn't really eat, as they say. We kind of nibbled on some half eaten cake that we already knew was there, and we've got so far an article that talks about First Light and kind of lists it as a January release, which is one of the earliest so far. The rumors said November. I really wouldn't count them completely out yet, because Avalon Hill have had a really, really rocky reputation for solid release dates staying in one place. They're slippery. Those release dates, they can get away from it. They can jump around all over the place. The one complaint that I will never have, though, is that they've released anything too soon to be of superior quality. Generally, release dates change when companies push something back so that they have a little more time to work on it or work out some really annoying logistical technicality that they might not have had any control over when they released the release date prior. But with Avalon Hill, we've seen things just kind of pop up out of nowhere early, and then we would see store pages get taken down and pre-orders canceled and people refunded, only to see it come up again. We had a bit of a delay in the pre-order links for Target for First Light, but they're up now. You can go and pre-order HeroQuest First Light right now through Target, which is really probably the biggest draw to Avalon Hill's presentation at Essen Spiel. The fact that you could have, I believe, played with First Light. I don't think they allowed any pictures to be taken, or I might be completely off. There might not have been anything for people to play with. I wasn't there, and I haven't done a lot of research on it because, honestly, it'll come out when it comes out. It'll be here when it's here. I don't have to watch other people's tease content or pictures or discussion around it to know that I'm going to unbox it and discuss it and show you pictures, moving pictures, in fact. But still, lots of respect to those that get in there and paparazzi that stuff. We need that. We want to see the pretty, pretty pictures whenever they're allowed to be taken. We want to see bits of footage. We want to confirm our suspicions and our speculations. Us speculate? Not even once. So, what else did they reveal? Well, we got Life in Reterra, Moonrise expansion. I happen to be looking at the pictures right now, and I'm ashamed to say that when it comes to presentation and the way a game looks, that really, honestly, should not be what drives my mindset about games, but it doesn't look like it's for me because of how it looks, because of how it looks like it plays. I'll have to do more research because there's a lot of good ratings, good scores for this. Games Radar gave it a 5 star out of 5. It got an Editor's Choice badge. I've only been wrong about getting into a game that I didn't feel like I would enjoy because of its visuals and its tactile feel one time, and that was Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride, I was like, I'm not going to enjoy this, am I? I'll try it. I'll play it once. Because I like trains and maps. That's cool. But I had a blast with Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride's awesome. But I don't know. I'll have to do more research to see if something like Life in Reterra is for me. Cosmolancer is the other one. Another game that just does not appeal to me personally. If it appeals to you, great. Go for it. Play it. Have fun. Tell me all about your experience playing Cosmoteer. Cosmolancer. Not Cosmo. Cosmoteer is a fun game. I like Cosmoteer. Cosmolancer is not that. We have a picture of the box at Avalon Hill's Instagram, and the O in the second O in Cosmolancer looks like a camera shutter. So that's interesting. Looks like there's elements of film. Looks like there are camera tokens. I like cameras. Not really sure why Cosmolancer. But if I take a look at the description here, it suggests that this is a reimagining of Kingdoms. So whatever Kingdoms is, maybe I'll enjoy, because that'll be the same thing, but with medieval imagery. Am I right? Life in Reterra doesn't look that bad. The expansion doesn't clue you in at all on how the game might actually play, or how the actual game looks. But it's a tile laying game. I don't have anything against tile laying games at all. Just not totally sold. I'll have to do some gameplay videos on it. I'll have to actually watch other people and see what is life in Reterra. And that's pretty much it. A little bit of more information on Talisman Alliance's Fate Beckons. Not that we need it. It's available now to buy. Literally looking at the Amazon page for it right now. $33.99 USD. Prime one-day shipping. Free returns. It's the first ever expansion of Talisman's 5th edition. Comes with awesome stuff. Legacy stuff. New dice. New heroes. Boxes inside boxes that you can open up. I don't know anything about it. I only looked at the images on the Instagram tease way back when First Light's initial cover was being shown. And I did a video on the contents of those posts, the images therein. And I thought that everything looked really nice. Nothing really to keep me from buying it. No big AI art debacle like with First Light. And honestly, nothing offensive. And I do pretty exciting looking. And I'm well aware that we can use AI to make images. I'm aware that to some extent you can use AI to sculpt a model, but it's going to be a long, long time before we get models of this caliber sculpted by AI. So I know they're safe. So yeah, I've ordered my Talisman Alliance's Fate Beckons expansion. I'm excited to open it up, and I've been excited over it. And I have to say, I'm also doubly just kind of like a little bit lost, confused, disappointed, upset, crying, screaming, because I pre-ordered this damn thing a long time ago. It was one of my last pre-orders I had coming in. It never showed up. That order is nowhere. I don't even know if it took. And it wasn't until today that I realized I still didn't have it and that I still needed to get it. Like, I'm not waiting on it. It's just not here. So I have it ordered now. It's going to be in the mail tomorrow. And I should be able to get a video about unboxing it. I haven't spoiled myself on anything. Like I said, I haven't looked at Always Bored, Never Boring's videos. Not the non-spoiler one. Not the spoiler one. When I get it, I'm going to absolutely tear through all the contents. I won't probably spoil myself too much, but I do want to take a look at the presentation in the smaller boxes. Because, I mean, why not? I'm behind. And I'll have enough fun unlocking those contents as I play Talisman, most likely with the wife, to do so. So what else do we have going on? I don't have a whole lot. We have some really cool homebrew stuff coming out. We've already got Lost Maps making the First Light underside board into an alternate map. It's the same map layout, but you know, now you don't have to use your board. You can use this really cool neoprene mat. Really, really cool. I have a set of these maps, of these Lost Maps games maps, and I really like the PVC feel. They don't take up a lot of space. They don't have a lot of weight to them, but they're durable. The graphics are pretty. You can get some really high fidelity artwork on here printed. I know that this is something that can be created with a couple of different programs that are offered out there on Steam, some dungeon creating programs. I've got one of them myself. Halfway, sort of, kind of tempted to get into a business like that, but I mean, I have a strong dislike for paying a middleman. But Ash, why are you on YouTube? Be quiet. Don't be quiet. I know. But still, paying a middleman most of what I would be able to make if I could make it myself. And I would just rather the thing that I want to create not really exist than exist, but not be something that I was able to get my return on. That's probably a horrible way of expressing how I really feel, because I don't think it's entirely accurate. It just depends on how much they'd be taking. I would love to have my own printer to send vinyl through, and then I think I could probably make stuff like this. It would be quite an investment, but that's exactly the kind of mindset that I would have. I would like to not have to use a third-party company like the Games Crafter, although I do have something on the back burner that a lot of you know about. And one day, we'll see. The coffee's good. One day, hopefully in the next 2 years, we'll see. I have Dungeon Saga Origins in the mail. I scored the Ultimate Pledge Edition off of eBay after watching Legendary Editions for some time and deciding that I really, really wanted the 3D upgrades to all the tokens and stuff. It came down to, do I want another Orc quest or do I want another Hero quest? Well, they both have their pros and cons, and actually HeroQuest is kind of offering us an Orc Quest edition with its first light, because by Orc Quest, I mean, do I want the furniture to be tiles or 3D? And somebody out there might say, but Ash, other games were doing furniture tiles way before Orc. I don't care. They're not as iconic. What's more iconic than getting a band of orcs together as heroes and whying your way through a campaign where you get to beat elves asses down because they're elves and sussy baka elves and humies and porks, which actually the porks are really cool. It's a shame to beat them up, but you can get some on your, I think, on your team as well, right? One of our good, never mind. So many cool orc characters in this month of Orktober. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to unbox the dang thing and do any content about it, honestly. My schedule just sucks. It's just bad. Schedule's not good. But yeah, the Dungeon Saga Origins unboxing will be soon. I kind of regret the Ultimate Pledge now, though, because I just learned that this furniture that's in the box, since it's Mantic, of course the furniture is not like exclusive to the game or anything. They make these 3D packs, and I could have just got the furniture in retail bits whenever I wanted later, I think. If I'm not mistaken, I think I could have done that. If I'm not mistaken, I could have gotten the furniture bits in retail packs. I didn't have to go for the higher priced tier. But I do want to make the comment now, and I'll make the comment when I'm unboxing the video. When I'm unboxing in the video. This is how you package a game. This is less than a foot square. And I'm not really sure how tall it is. Looks like it's about 7 inches tall. Not 8. Maybe. I think it's 6 or 7 inches tall, but no, this is how you box a game. This is how you package a game. This is the ideal size of a box for a game. If you're not going to do wide and flat, like a HeroQuest style 90s board game, you do this and you package everything as closely together as you can, and you don't allow a lot of wasted space for optional stuff. League of Dungeoneers, talking to you in your 15-inch square box that's looks like as tall as the Dungeon Saga Origins box, and then the expansion comes in a box. It's going to be impossible for me to store anywhere. That's how you tick Ash off. That's how you make him frown. You put your stuff in a box that's way too big. But Ash, how would you have packaged it? Look, probably three or more of these nice, lovely 11-inch square boxes is maybe how I would have done it. But I mean, whatever. whatever. But costs, logistics, blah, blah, blah. Look, just do it this way. Just plan on doing it this way. The Dungeon Saga Origins way. This is a lovely small box. And there's like, what, 50 quests in here? There's a ton of content. It trickles out in new mechanics. I got to look at some of the rules and tiles ahead and the cards. And it's going to be good. It's going to be really fun. I appreciate its no-nonsense, straightforward way of being played. Now, what else do we have? We're going to talk about the milestones now. As far as milestones go, it's very difficult at this point for HeroQuest to not reach milestones almost with every single release. What I mean by that is, let's take a look at the re-release. There's a milestone. It's re-released. It's out. It's the first edition. Let's go. Mythic tier. Let's go. Boom. First milestone. Technically, if we want to establish milestones after the creation of the thing and not with the creation of the thing, then the first milestone is the release of the expansions, Keller's Keep and Return of the Witchlord. And look at that. They knocked them both out, meaning that the very next expansion they release, no matter what it is reaching a new milestone of first U.S. expansion, reprint, re-release, remake, whatever. Frozen Horror was the one that was leaked first and released first. My mind goes to Mage because... reasons, but I was going to jump to that one next anyway. Frozen Horror is the first milestone after the milestone of creating Expanse. This is going to be a mess, guys. I need you to bear with me for just a minute. I'm going to condense this down in just a minute. Milestone. We have re-released the earliest expansions, the ones that were globally available, albeit in different slight additions, little differences here and there between quests. Return of the Witchlord and Keller's Keep. Milestone reached. Congratulations. I'm clapping. I don't know if the microphone will pick it up. It's got really good noise resistance, but there's the clapping. Boom. We released the Frozen Horror. That's the first U.S. exclusive expansion. That's a big box expansion. That's different from the other two. It comes with more stuff. It establishes a convention of a new hero sculpt that's an opposite gender, and then three minis, two minis, one mini. The one mini will be likely large or very impactful to the story. New abilities, new cards, this, that, the other. Milestone. Nice. Then, boom, we reach the milestone of last U.S. exclusive expansion, which wasn't going to be hard to do because there were only two. So the first one was an automatic win, and the last one was an automatic win. And then, boom, we get into the milestone of first custom expansion. If you want to count the Mythic tier stuff, that's fine, but I try not to because it was stretch goal, Mythic tier, high budget, exclusive, non-retail, all of those buzzwords were mixed into that stuff, and so we try not to count those as milestones, since while they were certainly significant milestones to the campaign, the crowdfund, they aren't in terms of the game's viable lifespan, because another $200,000 more at the beginning only makes more to order at the beginning and more eBay listings. It doesn't necessarily say the game is going to live longer at all. With these releases in retail, the game lives longer. So just to make sure we're all on the same track, we're all on the same course. Going forward, further forward. Yeah, the Rise of the Dread Moon, that's a milestone for sure. That is a, hey guys, look what we did. We created our very first custom new Avalon Hill 2021 edition HeroQuest's own expansion that sets it apart. It's it's new. It's the first new expansion in like, what, 30 years almost? So yeah, that's a milestone. Now, bam, we've got Against the Ogre Horde. That is a milestone of epic proportion because it's the first UK and EU exclusively available expansion that has been re-released. So obviously with each one of these milestones that's reached, we get to the deeper topic, which is expectation. As soon as the Frozen Horror was out, nay, as soon as the crowdfund campaign timer was released on where I saw it, which was Facebook, people were wondering how far that would go. I wondered, how far will this go? Will this get to those expansions? US, UK, what do they have the right to? Will they make anything new? Will they change anything? Will there be errata? Will they put in homebrew heroes that people have made? Will they put in their own homebrew heroes that, well, that they made, but that other people really made first? How far will this go? And I think we know how far it basically it's going to go. Now with each release, we're kind of like, is the end nigh? Is the end near? How many more ideas do you guys have? Because it looks like we're going to keep supporting him. And it looks like the funds and the sales and the success in retail has definitely been profitable enough. I know it's not Wizards of the Coast level. I know it's not like Hasbro came out with a new Monopoly. It's drywall edition. Guys, we got to get it. We have to. The boardwalk has been replaced by smooth finish ceiling drywall with the popcorn spray. Dude, drywall Monopoly. I'm here for it. Bam! Hasbro makes $3 million. How do they do it? I don't know. I don't understand any of that. It's stupid. Don't at me. It's stupid. But Avalon Hill does well enough with HeroQuest to keep going, keep being passionate. Yes, we had ups, we had downs, we had exclusivity. They were like, whoops. You know, it's this dumb thing to bring up every time somebody talks about HeroQuest. Yes, they accidentally had pre-order things go up for different platforms and leaks through images that weren't supposed to be shared until street date. Whoopsie. Whoopsie, Joe Manganiello, Dragon. Yes, we know it's old news. Whoops. Can't remember what the last thing. Oh, yeah. Whoops. We commissioned an artist who AI'd the hell out of our cover for this game. No. They fix. They listen to feedback. They fix. Interestingly enough, stop really quick. Interestingly enough, I got pulled into a conversation on Discord wherein I was told, guys, this is wrong tree. Don't bark up this tree. There's important things. There's concerns. This ain't it. And I'm glad I stuck to my guns in continuing to voice that was it, that the First Light art was a sham, that we didn't need that nonsense, that they could definitely do better. And it was okay to own that they could do better. And you know what? While they didn't own that they could do better, they did better. And it was because of the voices of the fan base and the people who came forward to say, I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with your AI generation stuff. It was because of that they did better. And now they have a much better looking product that appeals to a lot more people. I'm happy with that change. And it feels good not to be malicious. Oh, I was right, you were wrong. There's no I told you so's, but it feels good to have gone with my gut and to have stuck with it. Because you can't go wrong. You can't go if they came back with we're going to continue on as we're going to have the same cover either way. I'm sticking with what I said. I'm buying it. Probably trash in the cover. Doesn't deserve to be archived. And I'll have the game contents mixed in with something else. And I'll be like, yeah, I have that expansion. As you can see, it's not on display. I think Char offered to go ahead and draw me an additional cover to put over the box, to tape over it. That was going to be a whole bit. When I got the game in the mail, First Light, with its AI cover, I was going to take her artwork and tape it over the front after talking about, oh, dude, what is this? And then I was going to have a much better cover, and I was going to say, oh, that's much better. And then I was going to unbox it. It was going to be like a part shameless plug, part deep, merciless jab. But you know what? There's no need for any of that, because they did better. They did better. They have new art. Yellow Fly Agency has some really cool looking art on there. I don't know to what extent things may or may not be generated. Hopefully nothing. But it was fast, man. It was super, super fast. And that deserves respect. When you make a mistake like that and you recover from it, that's good. That deserves respect. When you recover from it with all, I don't have a good, I'm not from Texas, but like when you recover from a mistake like that with all that kind of hitch in your giddy up, sorry, that's all I could come. That's all literally the only thing I could think of. That commands respect. That is awesome. You guys did really, really well with that. And I appreciate it very much. Boom. Turned around. New art. And you know what? Maybe we would have had First Light in November. But it looks like the vocal minority might have even been a majority. But it looks like the very vocal minority, maybe majority of people who spoke out against that got what they wanted. Oh, we're going to be better for it. Future of HeroQuest, I think that they'll stay away from that stuff, because I really think that that's just going to be a consideration that they take now in the art department, art direction, whenever they're getting new materials together, at least for the cover. I don't know about the contents, but the cover, as far as the cover goes, and the first thing you're going to see whenever you see the expansion or picture of it, they're going to make sure they consider not to use artists that are known for artificial intelligence image generation. And that's great. So moving on past that, because I know there's quite a few people that don't care about that stuff. I do. So, you know, if you don't, that's fine. You don't have to, but if you want to listen to the channel from time to time, you'll have to be subjected to ramblings and rants like that. You could fast forward through them, and that's fine too. But the future now. What do we have left? We've got the Wizards of Zargon, which I say because I don't entirely know that they can't use Morcar. I would venture to state bravely that I don't think anybody can claim with 100% certainty that they can't use Morcar. I know that there's a character named Morcar in Games Workshop, spelled differently, different character, not the Zargon that we know, not named for the same reasons. Maybe it would be the Wizards of Morcar. And maybe they would establish that Morcar is a separate entity from Zargon. That would please a lot of people, because now they coexist, and now there's a big bad who's a wizard that people can use as a sort of proxy for the last boss in their game if they don't want to use Zargon. And still give the heroes a big win and end their overall campaign. But Wizards of Zargon, Wizards of Morcar, that's really the one we want to know about. That's really the one that so far has not been teased, as of this video anyway. We're going to be watching Luca very closely to see if we get any sort of mention or tease there. If we see even one thing, one tease, I think we'll be able to speculate whether it is or is not Wizards of Morcar with a high degree of certainty. Unless Avalon Hill still have an ace up their sleeve, unless they still have somebody in their team who knows how to shuffle things around and keep it vague enough to get us talking. I firmly believe that the guy who was responsible for a lot of that was Chris Nadeau. I really think Chris did a lot of, yeah, but what if we do this instead? Now they don't know. I think that he was to blame for a lot of the really cool ways that they revealed things and let things leak and tease. And I don't know if they've, if we can say that they've been able to do that with the same cool effect. It's been very sterile. It's been very, here's Instagram, keep an eye on future updates. It's been very, you know, Twitter Zargon could make comments about goblin mode. Avalon Hill Twitter's Instagram, I mean, is not doing that. It's just a completely different ballgame, unfortunately. We truly lived in an era, guys. Well, what's after that? I've made comments saying I don't mind if the Dark Company is merged with Wizards of Morcar, Wizards of Zargon, only because it's not an expansion. So it doesn't really fly in the face of my earlier desires that I stated to not have expansions be merged. Avalon Hill evidently agreed because they never merged any of the expansions, and all of the expansions they've released have been much better for that. It's a dumb idea. It's not practical. I know that there are people who think that it is, but it just does not make sense. It doesn't. And I am attacking the idea. So, you know, if you've had the idea, I'm sorry. But no, no. When somebody can do better, encourage them to. And the last expansion doesn't have anything left to merge into it, except the Dark Company, which makes sense because A, it's not an expansion. It's not even a campaign. It's a 13-part quest. And you might say, well, 13 parts, 13 quests. It's not quite the same. They could definitely play it out to be 13 quests. They could make a quest book for it. We didn't really get a proper quest book for the Dark Company. For those of you who are still kind of in the Dark Company, no pun intended, the Dark Company is a 13-part quest. Yes, I explained that. That comes with advanced quest. HeroQuest Advanced Quest Edition. Not Advanced HeroQuest. Completely different game. The Advanced Quest Edition was HeroQuest on steroids. It was everything that was with the base game, but the box for it was about half an inch taller, and it came with the 12 mercenary miniatures and weapons, and it came with their men-at-arms, I suppose I should say. And it came with a poster, which wasn't really a poster. It was the Dark Company campaign. So, 13-part quest. When you open that up, you are able to use the men-at-arms miniatures as enemies in this quest. Now, of course, we see those same men-at-arms reprinted and repurposed, A, for the Frozen Horror expansion that the U.S. got, and B, for the Wizards of Morcar expansion that the UK and the EU got. And they're used the same way in both of those expats. You can hire them. They have a cost. You hire them. They accompany you. If they die, they die. To quote a line from Rocky, if they live, you can hire them for the next quest, but they won't cost as much money. It's kind of like a maintenance fee rather than a rehire or anything. So you could hire a bunch of crossbowmen to help you through the Frozen Horror and stuff, and it's really, really helpful. Wizards of Morcar is a pretty tough expansion as well. It's only 5 quests. Now, what they did against the Ogre Horde expansion, which was 7 quests, they added 3 to make it to 10 quests, which is pretty much a standard convention. It's arbitrary. It didn't need to happen, but they did it. And the campaign is better for it. It's got some really cool stuff. It introduces the arena mode. The Dark Company doesn't really need anything extra. If you are following the rules correctly, you are picking components up off of the board every time the heroes enter a new section of the quest on the same board. And then you're placing elements back down as they are able to see them and get them in their line of sight. So you really don't need anything extra to play this. In fact, I'm really quite surprised it didn't inspire more quests like it. There are not a lot of quests that are like the Dark Company made by homebrewers. And I hope that this observation now will drive people to go make some multi-section part quests, because it would be really, really cool. I see a lot of quests that are homebrew that should be laid out this way because they take up the whole freaking board. And homebrew quests that take up the entire board generally they're long. They are so long. I don't want to say that they're slogs. Some of them can be slogs. They have the potential to be. But if you broke it up into sections like the Dark Company teaches, then it becomes much more digestible and manageable. So there is that. And then I think that's it. We've got adventure design kits that's been proxied by way of just printing off a sheet, cutting stuff out. It would be really cool to see a create your own quest feature in the app. Don't think we'll see that. HQuest Builder, which is not official, not Avalon Hill, I mean, not part of Hasbro, but a homebrewer, has given us more tools to make quests. And the upcoming editions of HQuest Builder are going to be very exciting. Very, very versatile. It's going to make future game jams, quest jams, very interesting. We'll see how all that goes. But as far as the future beyond that, I'm interested to see the next expansion they do. If it's not Wizards of Morcar, which would be two milestones in one, if it included the Dark Company. One, it would be the milestone of the last UK-EU expansion being reimagined, brought back to be accessible. And then if it had the Dark Company included in some way, then they would be able to say that they've been able to re-release every single original official quest from every region. All milestones done. The last thing that I think they could possibly do that would really surprise people or be what people want because of established convention would be to re-release, I should say maybe release to begin with, but make it accessible again, the Crypt of Perpetual Darkness. And I don't think they'll do that without substantial changes to it. I could be wrong. Maybe we would see, like we did with Prophecy of Talor and Spirit Queen's Torment, maybe we would see miniatures cast in different materials. So that dragon wrapping itself around the column, standing there, Venom, he might be like, you know, like a really cool blue color or something. And I say blue because we've got this green, and we've got we have the Haribo green, and we have the Haribo orange. So, I mean, as far as color variation goes, I could see it being blue. I know people would like rather have green. Maybe it could be a deeper, way different shade of green than what we got, right, with Spirit Queen's Torment. But I don't know, guys. As far as the future, I think homebrewers have got this on lock. I think we're going to see a lot of really cool stuff come out. And I think the homebrewers are hitting their milestone strides as well. They're coming out with stuff faster, with tools now that are making homebrew more accessible. They're being better about crafting their stuff with quality materials and presenting it in quality ways. We're getting better at formatting and being clear with rule sets, releasing entire campaigns, releasing all kinds of assets, different dice, rules to use the dice, and we've got cards coming out pretty soon from one particular homebrewer that emulate the tool set, the weaponry from Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and it uses, optionally, the power dice. So we have versatility coming, and we just have a lot of really cool stuff coming out. And yeah, A couple of comments from folks in the past talking about how AI has helped them out a lot with stuff that honestly they didn't need help with. Not counting that as a tool to make anything versatile, and hoping the focus for homebrewers does move away from that, or at least it stays where it's at and doesn't kind of encroach any further. Because that's something. Trust me, that's something for all of our sake we should be trying to curtail or seek alternatives to. And I'm not getting back on my soapbox about that, but it's not something that will serve anyone here in the long run. That's just not the direction things are going. So, with that said, Really looking forward more than anything to a Wizards of Morcar release, no matter what it entails. My OCD, and I think everybody at this point would just consider it a horrible tragedy if they didn't get it released. And for what the homebrewers will do with all of this information, all this material, and of course anything else they want to release, because I'm interested in this game lasting for another 3 to 5 years. I would love for Avalon Hill to continue making custom content. I'll continue to buy it, support it, and collect it for as long as they have it. And I don't anticipate any more major hiccups, so I feel pretty good and confident saying that. And I think that's where I'm going to end this podcast. So thank you very much for listening to me ramble on and on and on about almost nothing. I appreciate your time and energy, and I hope that your commute went well, or you have fallen fast asleep, or whatever you do when you listen to these podcasts. And hoping for a little bit more regularity in them as well, with my schedule easing up around the beginning of November. I will have another free day to be able to make content every 2 weeks. Doesn't seem significant, but to me that is very significant. So yeah, I'm definitely going to use it. And we'll see higher quality content. I think because I've reached my 5,000 subscriber goal, thank you so much, by the way, for that. Literally cannot be done without you guys, the listeners, the people who are tuning in. Even if you're already subscribed, it still can't be done without you, because your attention to what I do drives how the algorithm performs and all that stuff. So honestly, if you're new here, thank you. Welcome. You're awesome. If you've been around, thank you for continuing to be around. You're awesome. And you are still very welcome here. Not like a thank you, you're welcome, but like, you know, thank you are welcome here in the home of AshQuest. Not my literal home. I need to vacuum and wash the dishes before you. Anyway, but now that I've reached that goal, I think it's safer to do what I would have liked to started doing earlier, which is make better videos, but take more time making them. Contrary to what some of you really nice folks might think, I don't think my videos are good. I think they are very mid, as they say. And I would like to spend more time crafting them. I would like to do more documentary style stuff. I would love to delve into the quality of video that Jordan Sorcery has, for example. Right now, brief cuts, possibly different camera angles, close-ups, just having good quality video footage and audio, that's great, and I appreciate that, and having that, and it's thanks to you guys that I have that stuff. But I can do better, and I just need to take the time to do better. So really, I just have to wait for like cool stuff to stop coming out, so I stop needing to stretch myself to cover it all. And then B, I have to change the expectation of the video release cadence. But all that's nerdy crap that nobody really cares about. It just, you know, in the future, it'll happen. And then the videos will be so much better for it. That's the hope anyway. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And I will see you next time. Until then, bye for now, brave heroes.